For our scripture lesson this morning, I've chosen several passages, which I'm going to read you as the sermon progresses. A month or so ago, Greg invited you to send in some questions, which we preachers here at Wildwood Church would address in a summer sermon series. We thank you for your very interesting and thought-provoking responses. The question I chose this morning, which Tom Smith put in, and I thanked him for it this morning, is this. How do we become creators of compassion? In the weeks ahead of us, Greg and Kathy will stand here in this pulpit and talk about a variety of questions. How do we keep God in our kids' lives in a secular society? That's a wonderful question. How do you address non-believers? How do I discern God's will and distinguish it from my will? I can't wait to hear that one. What about heaven? What about angels? I invite you to be here in the Sundays that are ahead of us as often as you can, and to listen carefully to these sermons, because I have no doubt that they will teach us more about our faith. And so now, as I take on my job for the day, which is to respond to this question, how do we become creators of compassion? Please join with me in prayer. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Well, like most preachers, when I have a topic that I want to talk about, my first step is to open my Bible and see if I can find there words on the page, which by the power of God's Holy Spirit can become God's Word for us. And so I used to reach up in my bookshelf and pull out a big, thick book called a concordance, which lists every word in the Bible every time it's used. It's now found, of course, on my computer, so that all of you, if you don't have a concordance, but you want to know what the Bible says about something, you can look it up. The word banana is not found in the Bible. But the word compassion is found 50 times. And so I chose scripture passages today in which the word compassion is found. Hopefully understanding there the meaning of the word, and the place of compassion in our lives as disciples of Jesus. The very first time that the word compassion is used in the Bible is found in the story of the birth of Moses in Exodus chapter 2. The Pharaoh, we are told, had made a very cruel decree that all the boy babies born to the Hebrew slaves was to be killed. And so in a desperate attempt to save the life of their three-month-old son, Moses' parents put him in a little basket and put the basket in the river. And so the second chapter of Exodus, verse 5, says, "The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. While her attendants walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to fetch it, to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she had compassion on him." The story goes on to tell us how daughter of Pharaoh provided for the baby's care, and Moses was raised as a member of the Pharaoh's household. Then in the New Testament, we find the word compassion in Mark 6, verse 34. "As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." And a similar kind of verse in Matthew chapter 15, verse 32. "Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 'I have compassion for the crowd, because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way.'" I also found the word compassion in two of Jesus' most powerful and famous parables in Luke's gospel. Chapter 10 includes the story of the Good Samaritan. And it says, a Samaritan came near him, the man who's been attacked and left for dead by the side of the road. And when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. And then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. In chapter 15 of Luke's gospel, we find the story of the prodigal son, which some scholars have renamed as the story of the compassionate father. But while the prodigal son, was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. The dictionary's definition of compassion is a feeling of deep sympathy and kindly sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune and distress, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. That's what we find in Pharaoh's daughter rescuing an abandoned baby. It's what we hear in Jesus' response to the hungry crowd, to the people who were lost like sheep without a shepherd. The Samaritan and the father both felt compassion and reached out powerfully to alleviate that suffering. So last Sunday, as I was driving here to church in the morning, I was listening to a program on NPR called On Being, hosted by Krista Tippett. She was interviewing Dr. Richard Davidson, who's a professor from the University of Minnesota, University of Wisconsin. Dr. Davidson is a brain scientist who's been studying the effects on the brain of the spiritual practice of meditation. And so he has invited Buddhist monks into his laboratory to find out what happens in your brain when you spend years sitting quietly meditating. So Krista and Richard were talking about all kinds of things that were interesting to me. But then, to my surprise, as I was driving down Gages Lake Road, with this sermon kind of in the back of my mind, this is what I heard. Krista Tippett says, "What's your working definition of compassion?" I listened. And Richard said, "My working definition of compassion is that it is a motivational state that is associated with the propensity to relieve the suffering of others." This man's a scientist. He doesn't speak normally. Let me say that again. It's a motivational state that is associated with a propensity, which I take to mean a desire or interest, in relieving the suffering of others. So Krista says, right, so that it's not just feeling-oriented, it also has action potential. She doesn't have an excuse for not talking normally. She's a journalist. Richard says, yes, exactly. It's both a feeling quality and an associated action disposition, as we would say. And Krista said, you've also said that very much like language, you think that we're born with a capacity to be compassionate. Richard says, I do. And I think it's very similar to the way language is conceptualized as a part of our innate repertoire. The guy really likes big words, doesn't he? I think compassion requires a nurturant community for it to arise, to be nourished, to be cultivated. And in the absence of that kind of nourishing, supportive, early environment, the capacity for compassion can be stifled. Krista says, right, but the way a language gets passed on is, for our mother tongues at least, not so much people telling us about it, but just doing it around us, and then we soak it up. Richard says, I think it's the identical situation for compassion. The best way to teach compassion is to embody it. Not to teach it explicitly, but simply to be it. And it's through the being that the individuals in the vicinity of that person who's exuding compassion will implicitly understand and be affected by it and will learn from it. So I'm listening to this radio show thinking, wow, this brain scientist has just answered my question. How do we become creators of compassion? We learn of compassion in the same way that little children learn to speak English. We learn to speak our mother tongue by being immersed in a community of people who talk that language to us and around us. Not explaining the language to us, not explicitly teaching us to speak, but simply talking, and we listen. In the same way, we learn compassion and develop the capacity for compassionate living by being immersed in a community of compassion, being in the vicinity of a person, hopefully being in the vicinity of many people who are exuding compassion. And from that experience, we understand what compassion feels like, and we're affected, and we learn from that compassionate community. So as I was listening to Krista and Richard talk on the radio about compassion, I was getting all excited, instantly planning to put this interview right in the core of today's sermon, until the next words came out of Richard's mouth. And he says, "And that's what's so delicious about being in the presence of the Dalai Lama." Now, I have deep respect for the Dalai Lama and for the Tibetan Buddhist tradition that he represents. But I thought it was deeply sad in a way. It was just odd to me that Dr. Davidson, who lives in Madison, Wisconsin, 3 short hours from here, somehow concluded that he had to travel to the other side of the world to study someone who exudes compassion. So Monday morning when I got to work, I downloaded this transcript that I've just been reading from. And I've been thinking about it all week, and I still think that it seems really odd. It seems not quite right that a man who is held up as a model of compassionate living represents a spiritual tradition that focuses significantly, not entirely, but significantly, on meditation. I want to make sure that you don't hear me wrong about this. I honor the Dalai Lama, and I have practiced Christian meditation, and I have found it powerfully beneficial. But Dr. Davidson said that compassion consists of both the feeling of sympathy and the action to relieve the suffering. And I can't see how you can live a fully compassionate life if the main thing you are doing is sitting quietly and meditating. I can't get that. And so I want to invite Dr. Davidson to bring his scientific instruments here to Wildwood Presbyterian Church. I want him to study the adults who were in the first service who are right now beginning their drive down to Harrisburg, Illinois, to work for a week in the homes of people whose lives were damaged by a tornado. And then I want Dr. Davidson to study our senior high youth and their advisors as they're headed off toward Joplin, Missouri, to work on homes which were damaged by tornadoes. Our Wildwood mission trippers are compassionate people. They feel that empathy and that kindly sorrow, and then they go and they do something about it. They act to alleviate that suffering. Dr. Davidson, bring your instruments and your research assistants to the Wildwood Presbyterian Church Divorce Support Group that will meet this evening in the library. We will let you hook up your electrodes to our heads and find out what's going on in our brains, because the entire purpose of that meeting is compassion. Wildwood people who are currently suffering the deep pain of the failure of a marriage, sit down at the table with those of us who have that in our history and have worked through it, and we talk and we listen and we eat pizza together We offer help to each other. We become, in that meeting, a community of compassion. Incidentally, I do know that there are a whole bunch of you Wildwood people who have divorce somehow in your experience, who have not yet made it to one of our divorce support group meetings here on Sunday nights. I want to personally invite you to come. Tonight we'll be here from 5:30 to 7 o'clock, and we'll talk and we'll share and we'll eat pizza, and we would love to see you here. But I digress into one of my personal enthusiasms. Dr. Davidson said that compassion is created and taught by a compassionate community. I think he's right. And although before this week I would not have said it in exactly this way, one of the reasons that I'm here this morning, one of the reasons that I make membership in Wildwood Presbyterian Church a priority in my life, is that this is a community of compassion. In more ways than I could possibly describe in a sermon, this is a community of people who feel deep and kindly sympathy for our brothers and sisters who are suffering, and who take action to alleviate that suffering. Compassion is an essential part of who we are and what we are doing here at Wildwood Presbyterian Church. And why is that? It's because we are disciples of Jesus of Nazareth, whose life displayed compassion beyond anything that you or I could do. Jesus created by his life, created a community of compassion that has lasted now 2,000 years and that reaches out around this entire planet to care for suffering people. Dr. Davidson, you don't have to travel around the world to study compassion. Just learn from the most amazingly compassionate man that ever lived, Jesus. Just open that Bible that's sitting on your bookshelf and read about Jesus, who he was, and what he did. And that's true for us too. If we want to become creators of compassion, we sit at the feet of Jesus, and we come to know him as a man who fed the hungry and healed the sick and reached out to the outcasts, who rescued the lost like a shepherd rescuing lost sheep. We come to know Jesus as a man who inspired his followers, who inspires us to do the same thing. We listen with rapt attention to his stories about a compassionate Samaritan, about a compassionate father. And we hear in those parables God's invitation to us to become people, to become a community who create compassion. In my search through the Bible, I found one more passage that includes the word compassion, which seems to me a perfect conclusion to what I've been saying today. So listen with me for God's word to you and to me and to us from Colossians chapter 3. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you have been called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.